So it's not lost on me that you actually worked under the leadership of Masai Ujiri, right?
Yes. And he said, no, I'm not mentoring you. What I realized afterwards was he was always going to mentor me. He was just going to do it in a certain way. And he most importantly would continue to shovel and drudge a path for me in rooms that I wasn't in.
A growing health, wellness, and leadership podcast designed for you to become your most empowered self.
Great day, amazing humans. Welcome to the Empowered in My Skin podcast, where our mission is to help 1 billion people in this world think in more empowering ways. Empowered humans empower humans, so you are the right spot to become a lead domino for empowerment today. So let the show begin. Great day, amazing humans, and welcome to the next episode of Empowered in My Skin, the podcast. So, what if I tell you that winning isn't just about talent, it's about culture? And then, if I say that it's about environments we build, the standards we set, and the people we empower along the way. Well, today's guest, y'all, has spent his career shaping high performance cultures that drive results on the court and impact beyond it. So please join me in a gigantic, massive podcast welcome for John Wiggins.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. Happy to be here. Appreciate the invite. Looking
I
forward to
love, well,
this.
thank you for saying yes. Thank you for saying yes. And we've become fast friends. So I love it.
Exactly.
Love it. So before I get to our backstory and then your backstory, the signature question of this podcast is, what has been your most empowered thought that you've had in this day so far?
In this day so far. Wow. You know what? There was really just a thought about an event that I was at earlier with regards to how you create impact and how you take risks. And that, you know, without risks, nothing consequential really happens. And I kind of reflected on that because I believe that with the platforms we have, with the opportunities we have, we've got to be bold, we've got to be visionary. And at the point that I'm at in my life, you know, I look at the generation before me and they've done their part. I look at the generation after me, and you know they're looking at us to see what we're going to do. So for me, it really is about being bold and having to take some risks. And I took that away. I was typing down some quotes when that person said that because you know we got to be bold, and that requires
Have to do
taking
that.
some
Yeah.
risks. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. And do you feel it's risks that are you willing to like go off the edge on the nature or the level of risks that you take? Or are you someone who feels that it will have to be risks that you can still manage?
Yeah, I think it's calculated risk is how I would look at it. I don't think it has to be something I can manage. I would just want to process and maybe understand some of the outcomes, maybe understand the level of risk, but also be courageous enough to move forward not knowing what the outcome is going to be or that I might be wrong, but I'm comfortable enough to know that I'll learn. So it doesn't all have to be within my control. No, I think that's playing it safe still.
Yeah,
Right?
there's
You
no
got to be
risk
able to
without
let go.
reward. There's no reward without risk. It's funny, it
Exactly.
kind of, for some reason or other, it leads me, like one of my early conversations I had today with a colleague. It all precipitated on, I just got a price tag on on a set of tires I have to buy for my car.
Okay.
Oh God, it's painful. And so she's like, well, what kind of car has you like feeling so
Right.
much pain for like buying tires? So I
That's
let her know. So I let her know that it's a car that was on my vision board that is now on my driveway. And
okay.
so it's a Maserati, right? And
Congrats.
the one that was on my vision board was a Quattroporte. But when it actually came down to it, that car is just massive. I don't need something like that. So I ended up getting a Ghibli. And then, and all of that to say that I thought that was taking a risk, right? Like, you know, like, oh, do I put in that kind of investment? Like, do I do that? And 3 years later, it wasn't really that much of a risk. And I said, you know, I think I put the wrong thing on my vision board. I think I should have probably have put like a jet plane or like a yacht in Monaco. because
Right.
that would then drive the level of risks that I would have to take in order to achieve something like that so big. So
Sure.
all of that to say, like when you said that, like I think the bigger of the risk that you're willing to take, the bigger the reward that you will receive.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I love to start with a backstory for the listeners and the watchers, right? I was hosting an event recently in March, I think, for International Women's Day. It was Lean In Canada, an incredible event. And there was a prolific panel discussion of which Mr. Wiggins, John Wiggins, Mr. John Wiggins was on it. And I was sitting over to the side and I just remember like, oh my God, this guy was just dropping like bombs of like, I was like, is anybody catching what he's saying? So I felt like I needed to like throw out some preach, you know, some amen. Like, yeah, repeat that, sir. Like,
and you did.
I think I have my notes down there somewhere. But there's like so much leadership nuggets that I got from you that evening. And then I remember having this opportunity to meet you and met you and your wife. And I just have to like, you're lovely people. Like, you're just like, I, like, that's why I said it's not easy to catch friends. I don't know that I can introduce you as like, I actually feel like a kinship, like a friendship is growing. Right.
For sure.
And then like just getting to know you more. And we'll talk about some of that, like, you know, the work that you've done, the leadership that you've worked under. But I want to just let you know, like, it was a no-brainer for me that I needed you on this platform. And I think like what I kind of, we happened to actually share an experience yesterday. I was his guest at Giants of Africa, African, yes. At the African 2026 event. And I remember sharing, like, I'm so excited about this experience that we're going to have today on this podcast, because yeah, I'm going to be inspired from, I just know it. We're going to have a really great time spending energy together. But when this publishes on the date, right, for all you or people or humans that are listening to it now, what I'm really excited for is the outcome, like is the empowering effect that this conversation is going to have. And it's already started, right? Like there's something that you got empowered that you share today on this date, we're recording it, that's going to release on the 25th when that first listener listens about risk. And they're going to do something with that already. And that's the empowerment. And so I just want to let you know, like your leadership, your thought leadership, the person or the human that I experienced after that, my gosh, you just, I just want you in my vortex, right? Like, and so you carry like incredible, incredible human spirit. And really, really grateful to have had that experience to have met you.
I can only reciprocate the same and thank you, because the words are kind and they're it's a little humbling to receive sometimes, but there is an energy that is connecting, a kinetic energy almost, that, yeah, as I was on stage and I heard this voice off in the corner encouraging and supporting and preaching, and I didn't know who it was, although I did. it was great. And the same, you know, like one of the first things I wanted to do was connect with you immediately after, and had a chance to speak and chat a little bit and take a slow walk a little bit as we got back to the elevator.
Hey, because he's trying to say that I was in a walker and a cane that time, but I'm moving fast now.
You're moving good. You're moving well. but wanted to continue that. And I'm glad we had a chance to speak after that. And then obviously go to the event together. And you're right, it's just the beginning. Good people find good people. And I'm looking forward to it.
Thank you. So all of that now set you up for your backstory, because you didn't get there from just there being an easy path to sort of the leadership and the work that you now do to actually drive bigger community in spaces in the world, right? Outside of just where you live, and sort of now start to live in that space of service. So I just want to know, like, can you share with me and the listeners, like what has defined your leadership? What has your path sort of to where you been like to you getting here today?
Yeah. Geez, it's an unconventional, untraditional path is what I like to call it, but in an encouraging way to folks, for them to realize like this, you know, the way you might be taught about going to school and then getting an internship and then getting a job in the mailroom, and it may not happen that way. right? My love and passion for helping people and doing that through sport, it evolved very later in my life, like in my late or my mid 30s almost, right? And although I always stayed around the game in some capacity, I didn't reach a platform that I did until much later. So where I define my path has always been about being ready for the opportunities that present themselves when they come. You never know when it's going to show up, but what are you doing every single day to prepare yourself so that when that opportunity shows up, are you going to school? And if you're not, are you still learning? Are you developing a skill? Are you developing a trade? Me, I decided to go to university. And although I started in one specific, faculty, thinking I was going to go through human kinetics and kinesiology, I finished in psychology, right? And it was interesting to me the way it helped me understand people. And you'll kind of hear that as a through line. Like for me, my purpose is to help people. And so maybe it wasn't through, the anatomy and biology, but it was through understanding the individualness of folks through psychology. And when I came back from University of Windsor, I started working in a call center. There was no big job waiting for me. There was no big salary waiting for me. I didn't know what I wanted to do. So I took a job where I could and started to continue to figure that out. And the opportunity presented itself to move down to the US, to move to Florida specifically. And I just thought, you know what, I'm young enough. I'm bold enough. Why not try this out? And I turned that, knowing that there would be an opportunity to, maybe accelerate faster through the company, maybe take the expertise that I had for the couple of years that I was there and help them establish an organization down there. And I did just that. And that's what taught me business management and operations management and people management through that process. And again, I took no business courses in school, right? I didn't go get a BCom or a B marketing or anything else like that. I learned it through hands-on experience, but it was really, hey, do you want to be a manager? Hey, do you want to be a mid-level manager? And I was like, sure. And I'm going to be ready for those opportunities when they come. And then I'm going to take them and learn as much as I can. And then returning to Canada, I saw something that was going to get me involved in professional basketball. And at the time, I wanted to be a coach. I'd been coaching youth down in Florida and I got into high school coaching. And I just thought, yeah, professional coaching is what I'm going to do. It gives me a different perspective on the game. But the other opportunities were to work for a professional team in community engagement and in sales. And I'll tell you, I wasn't good at sales at all, but I loved working in the community. I got to coach a little bit. And then the next year, they said, do you want to be the head coach? And at this point, I was running the front office and I was coaching. And they kind of put that ultimatum for anyone that understands in sports. They said, look, if you're not doing well in coaching, they're going to fire you. The coach is usually the first person to go. So they said, look, if you're not doing well, we can give you the head coaching job, but we might have to fire you if you don't do well. And I said, I'd rather do the firing. I'd rather be in the position to continue to shape the organization. And that's what put me on a course to basketball front office management. And I kind of trajected that into when the Raptors were ready to do create a development team. They pinned me as the person to do that, and we launched one in Mississauga back in 2015. And I continued through with the Raptors right through to last summer, and kind of again transitioned into another role when I accepted the role for culture and inclusion and social justice and social change. And again, that was nothing I'd studied for. It was nothing that I was educated about from a technical standpoint. I just knew
You're
that
ready.
at the point in time, not only I don't, honestly, I don't know if I was ready. I just knew I wanted to be involved in how we're going to change things. And so, I call it, barbershop talk or nail shop talk. Like I don't talk for an hour while I'm getting my haircut and then leave and don't do anything about it, right? So I said, I want to be a part of the change. That opportunity came and they gave me an opportunity to be a part of it. So that's the shortened version. Everyone's gonna have to wait for the Netflix special to come out to hear the rest. You know what I mean? But that's the short version of my path, which was again, it's all around kind of random opportunities that popped up, but I was always taking steps to be ready for them when they came.
So there's something that you've actually said. I wrote it down because I almost feel like it could be the title for the episode, but be ready
Okay.
for the opportunities for when they come. And you sort of talked about that in a couple of like with a couple of the transitions that you made through the sort of this backstory that you just shared. And I think what came to mind for me is like somebody listening to that could be early in career listener, right? Like, because we do attract that audience. Like, what might that look like? Like, how does, like, is it reading? Is it networking? Like, what are the, like, sort of, what are your ingredients to be ready?
I think it's yes, yes, and yes, right? So you probably have a sense of what you want to do. Now, if someone's not showing up with a job or a salary for you, what are you doing in the meantime for when they do call your name? So yeah, like should you be reading? And that might be books, that might be articles, that could be ChatGPT. Like there's all sorts of ways to redefine the way we consume from a reading standpoint, but sure, you could be doing that. You know, there's a visceral word that people don't like to use. Are you volunteering? Right? A lot of people will tell me, look, you know, Wiggins, I just want to get involved in basketball. I know I'm going to be so good. Okay, cool. Like, so what are you doing? I'm not doing anything. So you're telling me no high school could use your help. No junior college could use your help. You only can coach if it's going to be at the highest level of coaching. That's when you're going to be, no, come on, stop it. You know, stop it. You can be doing something that's going to get you reps. It's going to get you experience. It's going to get you lessons. So volunteering is a big thing that I tell people that they need to be doing. And then like hone and round out your skills. I think we all know there's a lot of other things. Like I said, I never took a business course, but at some point I need to understand business a little bit, right? So at some point, like, do you know how to balance a budget sheet? Do you know how to sell? This is a big one for me because everything is sales. Even me coming on the show, you sold it to me on why I would be great and why it would be important. If we are in basketball and we're trading for a player, the other team has to take the player too. It can't just be we don't want the player, so we're going to trade them. You have to sell it to the player. If you're trying to get a free agent, you have to sell Toronto as to why it's a great city for you to move your life, your family, and everything here. The concepts of selling, whether it's a used car or whether it's a team, is the same. You got to pitch it. You got to do the research. You got to ask for it at some point. So, how many people are actually going out and doing a sales job so they can apply it somewhere else? So, I just think there's always things that folks can be doing to prepare themselves for that next opportunity. But what are you really doing is the question, right? Because you're going to show up and then all of a sudden you're not going to have the tools and resources. And then that opportunity is going to get taken away from you.
You know, one of the things I said to you was in this conversation that I'm having with you, I know that I'm going to learn something or something that's going to shift for me. There's something that you just said, and I thank you for saying it. I never really looked at it as I actually win guests, yes, by selling this opportunity to them. And I wouldn't
Absolutely.
ever think that I could do sales, but your episode 300 and it's 80 or 85. So I've had
That's
to do it a good amount
385 cars that you've
of
sold. Like, do you see what I'm saying? Like, you are the sales employee of the year. Like, you've done that. Do you see what I mean? And it's not even just the way you spoke, it's the way you positioned your company, it's the way you've done your Instagram, it's the way you've laid out your website. Because for someone like me, I went and looked at all of that. I was like, what am I getting involved in? I don't know what this is. Let me go listen to a few of these. You've sold it along the entire way, but you've built it. You've built it and you prepared for the next person that's coming on your show, right? And we don't see that. And so that's why I say sometimes we got to teach that to the next generation and to other people for them to see it at some point. But it's all there.
I love that. So thank you. I love that. I love that you share that. There was, and I wish I wrote it down. There was something that you said that tickled my it tickled a memory for me, but it's past me now. But I'm gonna keep going. I'm gonna
Okay.
double click. So it's not lost on me that you actually worked under the leadership of Masai Ujiri, right?
Yes.
And I've only his name is leadership, right? Like, and I got to see him close up yesterday for the
Yes.
first time. Never
Yes.
met this man before, and have him even on my like super guest list for this podcast one day.
Yes.
And
Yes.
to be under his leadership was like what? How would you like what are some of the key principles that you learned?
So I'll give you maybe two perspectives. Like the first one was when I first joined the Raptors, I was leading another team, our development team, the Raptors 905. And so that was out in Mississauga. So it was away from the front office and away from Masai. And yet, you know, like at some point he interviewed me, and at some point he was always watching from afar, right? And I'm as maybe sometimes as awestruck as you are every time I see this man, when he would walk into our gym or I would come into the office downtown. But here you had a powerful, successful, charismatic, pragmatic Black leader. And he walks in a room and it makes you want to sit up, straighten your shirt, speak properly. It made me want to represent him well every single day. And I think that was simply from the way he led. You know, if you have someone that just kind of doesn't care and doesn't dress themselves well and just kind of saunters in and does whatever, then you'll probably just saunter in and not really care and not really, you know, but he has a standard, and he embodies that and reflects that every single day. I think the next piece, which I'll share, and I've spoke about it before, but it's when I did join the Raptors front office, and I was excited, and I immediately went to him and I said, "I want you to mentor me." Like, can you imagine? Like, I was just like, and now I'm finally here, and then I'm at your table every single day. I want to be mentored by you. And he said, "No, I'm not mentoring you." Can I tell you the crushing feeling of this? Like, I was like, "Wait, what do you mean?" Like, I practiced what I was gonna say nights before and everything. And he was like, "I don't mentor people." And not even a follow-up. He was like, "Yeah, so what else are you gonna talk about?" Like, that was it. But you know what I realized afterwards was he was always going to mentor me. He was just going to do it in a certain way. And it wasn't going to be great, set up a weekly call with me on Thursdays for 30 minutes. No, 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 no. He was watching, right? And he would poke his head in. And he, most importantly, would continue to shovel and drudge a path for me in rooms that I wasn't in, to make things easier, better, take down barriers, make things less difficult for me every single day. And it's not like he was like, "Look what I did," but I would realize that I had his support when I needed it. I realized I could go to him when I needed him, and I realized he wanted me to walk a certain path and learn things a certain way. It was very, I call it very big brother from afar, right? Like, they're not, it's almost like he's not going to let me get hurt, but he's not gonna hold my hand, right? And that was the leadership, and I saw that reflected in, you know, whether it was the team of 10 on his leadership team, 10 of us, and I saw that, like, he empowered you, he allowed you to do your job. I remember one of the first incidences we were dealing with, and I came to him and I was just like, I don't know if we should do this. I don't think we should do this. What are your thoughts?" And he goes, "Why do you think I hired you?" And he's like, "I don't," literally, like, he said, "I don't want to deal with this shit. I hired you." But that gave me the sense of, not only does he have confidence in me, but I understand his leadership style, right? And how I need to show up for him. It also means how good do I need to be at my job. And it just, it shapes a different perspective, right? So yeah, under his leadership, under just watching him from afar, really, truthfully, was a course. It was an education every single day. And I thank him for it repeatedly whenever I see him.
You know, it's so interesting because like my current leader, is probably one of the best. And a lot of the traits you just explained are what I have sort of had or would have said about him, right?
Yeah.
Like, first of all, he makes me want to represent him well,
Right.
right? I think that that's the mark of a really great leader. And the other one is like the things that he's entrusted me with, like, have often, like, you sure you like, you want me to. Like you don't know, like you, I
Yeah.
remember like I started the organization, maybe hadn't been there for 3 months, so I hadn't delivered anything really big, you know, your first 90 days. And he put me in front of like a $75 million initiative and said, "Here, go run it." And I was like, "Do you wanna do, you know, do you need updates? You want me to like, do you want to be in the room?" Like he's like, "Nope. I have shit to do. Like this one's yours." I was like, "Really?" And yes, it's like that, right? And then because of also the leadership trait of you want to represent them well, there's something about you pull up your pant ear, well, I call my big girl panties, but you pull up your and you figure out how to get it done, you know?
Absolutely. You spend the nights, you spend the
Yeah.
hours,
Yeah.
you put in the due diligence, you double check the
Yeah.
work,
Yeah.
right? Because you care.
Yeah.
And you don't want to make that person look
Don't,
bad,
right.
right? So
Right.
it's a different form of leadership, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't even know if I could do it. Like, again, it takes a certain level of confidence and release, right? And I don't know that everybody can do it, but
Yeah.
that's his leadership style, and it's a very trusting style. It's a very inclusive style. Yeah, it was
That's
good.
beautiful. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for
Yeah.
sharing. So I remember what I was going to say earlier when you were talking about when you were actually saying to that person, like, go, I'm sure you can help in the high school or you, there's nowhere you can help. And one of the things I think I like it made me trigger is like how many people lose the essence of when you're in the in the motion, you create more motion. Does that like
Right.
right? Like sometimes when anyone calls me, I especially like, hey, Ink, what's up? I say everything's up. Or if somebody says, what are you doing? I actually let them know what I'm doing. Even if I'm watching TV, I speak about my life in action because I
Okay.
believe that that creates more motion, right? Like,
Gotcha.
so in order for you to kind of get your dream job, you have to be like, whether you're serving in, like, you know what I mean? Like in
Yeah.
some capacity or to create that. Like, I think that that's what kind of came to me as that is such a, like a, and I just want to repeat it for anyone that's listening. Like if right now, if you can really ask yourself where you are in life, is it where you want to be? I would ask you, where are you not moving? And create movement in those spaces,
I
right?
love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
So the other thing I want to actually say is I was w observing you yesterday, you know? And
Oh.
what's that supposed to mean?
Because you were supposed to be having a time,
I was, but you're like, you're my
a
host. And I'm like, I don't think I had to, I had to side eye and say, who's this person that's inviting me? Anyway, what I want to say is like almost whether it was someone new that you met or whether it was someone that I knew you, like I observed, first of all, folks, to anyone that's listening, like there was just a level of honest that people had when they saw John, like, oh my God, like it was really quite beautiful to watch, right? And so even with new people, is this that I observe this you this candid like this ability to make them feel like the most important person in that moment. And I thought that that was really special. And to see how people reacted to you is a real demonstration of your leadership in action. And so I ask that because how would you describe your leadership?
Well, thank you. And I probably don't realize that, but I can understand maybe if that's what you saw. My leadership is, so it's driven in optimizing and maximizing people. I'm not the analytics guy, right? I'm not the I'm not the technicality guy. I am going to pour into people, because if you can have everybody delivering at their peak level, then I think there's nothing you can't do collectively. I just feel like I'm good with people, and maybe that's kind of what you saw yesterday. And I don't think about it when it's happening, but I love to get the most out of staff and people, whether it is my direct report or whether it's someone that I report to. And that might be challenging people, asking questions, seeing things through a bigger lens and picture so that the whole room is thinking about things. But I like to connect with folks, and then I like to drive, how do we get the most out of everything? That I couple that with, you know, a keen ability to see detail and problem solve. And now I bring that back to how I lead people, because I try to provide assurance. I try to provide poise and confidence. I try to provide, and then with that, you've got to be knowledgeable in order to solve problems, especially in a space of operations and people management. But I want to be a calming force amongst everybody that they feel like they can be their best. I hate any thought around, man, if I did something wrong, like I don't want to go to Wiggins and get in trouble. I don't want to let him down. I don't want to, no, none of that's going to happen. You're good and we're going to be great. And so let's just work together. And whatever I've got to do, I'm going to take full accountability. I'm going to give you similar to what I said about Masai. I'm going to give you that umbrella that you're protected, right? Like I'm never going to let you make some kind of catastrophic mistake where a $75 million project is just going to fall through the ground. Like that's never going to happen. But how do you learn? How do you teach? And how do you help people? So my entire strategy is always going to be driven amongst getting the most and accelerating as much as you can out of people. I'm a culture builder. I'm a people manager, and I think that's it. Like if we can get all of humankind working together, the world will be a better place. If you can
Yeah,
get your
I
team getting
totally
together, your
agree.
company will be a better
I
place. Like
totally agree.
that, yeah, that is my leadership style.
Have you ever had to let someone go?
Absolutely.
And how was that?
I learned this a long time ago. If things are done right, if you're letting somebody go, either they know, right? Because you've worked with them. Let's go back to optimizing people. Like you've worked with them, you've helped them, you've put them on a plan, you've talked them different scenarios. Like I don't believe out of the blue Monday, like people are unless it's a layoff or something like that, which I've also done, and that's just a matter of like these are the circumstances. But I think if it's related to performance, if that was the question, then a lot of times people know, and that is about clear communication, and that is about setting people up for success as well as managing and coaching kind of their opportunities. And then beyond that, like I think folks know if they're not performing or if they've done something wrong that's going to get them released or terminated. It's not an easy conversation, and yet sometimes for me it is because I like to say
Done the work. And you've
we've done the
clearly,
work, and they know. They like it, it. I think it's very rare someone's going to be completely blindsided by a termination. Not in the world that I've been in, and again, I've done that in a lot of different spaces. I just don't think it comes out of nowhere. So I like to feel I communicate, I coach, I provide opportunities, and if it's not working out, it's not working out.
I wish we had more time because I would double click on that, especially because you said, we're good and we're going to be great. So
Yeah.
how do you navigate sort of that principle that that is part of your true line of leadership, and you're also having to deal with performance? But
Yeah.
gotta move us
Okay,
on. I gotta
no
move us on. You're
problem. No
saying a lot.
problem.
You just so yesterday, so in of God, there's so much, like I can't even believe the time. I'm looking at the time. I'm
There's
like,
gonna be a
gosh,
maybe
yeah.
I'll get a part two, who knows?
I think you're going to need a part two. I think we're going to have to come back just on like leadership. But yesterday
Sure.
we attended an event together. So
Yes,
he
we did.
invited me really graciously as his guest, as I said, to AFRICON 2026, which is put on by the Giants of Africa. It was sponsored by my former employer, TD Bank. Shout out to TD Bank.
TD.
So a room, so this room was filled with culture and excellence and connection. And so what do those kind of gatherings represent for you? And why do like and why do spaces that celebrate community, ethnicity, shared experience matter so much in like leadership and development and the impact work that we need to do as leaders?
Yeah, so interesting enough, I had another meeting today with a gentleman who started up like his own diamond jewelry company, his own luxury bag company. He's got his own premier vodka, luxury premier vodka. But he wanted to work with me because he was like, we need to collaborate more as a community, specifically as a Black community. We need to collaborate more. We don't collaborate enough. That's what I saw out of the AFRICAN event. And that's what I've seen for the other times they've done it. At some point, where are those forums and those platforms and those rooms that literally pull people in, right? Like they are unapologetic about saying this is for Africans. And truthfully, like not even for West Indians, not even for Black people. This is for Africans. Today, we are talking about Africa. If you're African, come to this event. We want to see Africans. We're going to talk about the continent. It was all about Ethiopia, Somalia, Morocco, Nigeria, Ghana. And I love that because it's at some point that we need to stop hiding and we need to stop apologizing for wanting to be us, for wanting to support ourselves, for wanting to grow our community, right? And we've really just got to stop doing that. And so I'm ecstatic at the fact that Giants of Africa puts this on as often as they do, because that's exactly the collaboration that needs to happen, and we all need to be doing it more often. So I think that is a forum where folks need to show up, and I think other people who have the opportunity need to create other forums, and it can be in so many different ways. It can be like the work you do, right? And as you're talking about bringing together young Black African women, like all of these things, we shouldn't be worried or scared. I feel like we were scared before. I feel like we thought, we can't do this, or
No, we
we're not
can.
supposed to, or we'll do it in a corner quietly. No,
Yeah.
like, damn it, it's
We
our
need to do it
time.
boldly, do it
Yeah.
loudly. Yeah.
And the other thing the gentleman said to me today was, he was just like, we've started behind the eight ball. We know that, right? Just based on circumstance and life and the way the world treated our people, we've started behind the eight ball. But I'll go back to what I said earlier. If we don't do it, if our generation doesn't do it, like again, our parents did what they were supposed to do. They gave us a level of a better life. So what are we doing to advance the culture and advance the community? So it's really on us now. Yeah.
Yeah, there was something that Boris said yesterday, talking about Africa as being like it is currently a frontier there, and it is going to be the future as well, right? Like the
Absolutely.
yeah, and I think that's the same for the Caribbean, right? Like I started work last year, did a trade mission to the Caribbean, to Jamaica specifically, and it is all around how do we collaborate, like in that ecosystem, to actually just create the like elevate and accelerate the op economic opportunity, right? Like that exists. So I totally agree. Now I want to shift to like we talked about like you built success in professional sports and leadership, but your commitment to community is something that I want to acknowledge. And so through the work that you're doing with Focus Dreams Forward Foundation,
Yes.
what inspired you to create this foundation? What is the work that you're doing? And why was it important for you to invest specifically in underserved Caribbean diaspora youth?
Well, thank you. I appreciate you asking. And it's a good segue because it really was GOA, right? What GOA has been doing for the last 24, 25 years, I've been trying to do over the last four or five. I went to see their documentary. I've been to Rwanda to work with them and see the youth that they've supported. I've seen the byproducts. Like you saw the young lady Temi yesterday, who's now in the WNBA, but started off in their camps, right? And I as I see all these success stories, I immediately started to say, well, but they look just like the youth and the kids that I grew up with in the Caribbean. And I spent a lot of time in the Caribbean as I was growing up. My mother was in the education, so every 8 weeks of the summer when she was off, we just went back to the Caribbean. There was no summer camps here in Canada. We were going back to the islands. And I would always give back to the islands. I don't care if it was my shoes, my clothes, my Nintendo system, whatever it was, we were always giving back to the islands. And so as I saw what Masai was doing with GOA, one, I said, I'm not doing enough with my time if he can do all of this. And two, I know where my heart and my passion is, and it's with the Caribbean. The difference for me is, like, I don't think we have the same, like you said, future frontier in the Caribbean. The Caribbean is seen as your vacation destination. It's seen as your place where you go and you come back. And so, I'm 47 years old, and I just see the same cycle with no progression, no advancement, no movement. But yet I see the Chinese, the Germans, the Taiwans building the hotels, taking up the land, doing all the things. And at some point, I just want to see, as beautiful as our islands are, as resourceful as our islands are, as with the amount of potential that our folks have. And I don't care if that's with athletics or education or whatever else it is, they just need to get organized, and they need support, they need programming, they need direction. And that's what I hope to provide, especially to the youth there, is that they can see a path. I did some focus groups down there, and the through line was they would do it if they could see a path, and they don't see a path to whatever that might be. If all they see is a path to what do you call it, hospitality, because there's nothing but hotels. But they know if they get into that hotel, they've got a job for life. If that's all they see, then that's what they do, right? But there's so much more opportunity, and I just want to show more paths for them.
Well, I'm in. I'm in. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in, and we'll continue talk, and we'll continue to figure this out, because I'm in all the way, you know?
Agreed. Thank you.
Whoa. So I'm looking at the time, and I have to take you through Rapid Thrivers. I actually do
Okay.
gonna put you out on blast. Do you say yes to coming back for a part two?
Absolutely. I can't
Okay.
wait.
Okay. We're gonna bring you back for a part two. So for Rapid Thrivers, when you think of someone who inspires you, who comes first to mind?
So let's not say Masai, because obviously we spent enough time with him. Yeah, the easy one, I feel like maybe everyone always says this, but it is my mom. If you meet my parents, I am physically a reflection of my father, but my internal spirit, this spirit for helping community, the energy around leadership. I spent a lot of time with my mom, and I've absorbed that from her, and I now hope to carry it forward. She's a phenomenal woman that did a lot behind the scenes here in Toronto with Toronto and York Board School System. She did a lot up in the Eglinton West area, and to this day, people still come to me. If like short part, Jean Augustine comes to me and tells me about how my mom used to go to meetings with her and have me on her lap as they were sitting in policy meetings. You know what I mean? And I'm just like, wait, my mom worked with the Honorable Jean Augustine? Like, so she was one of those ladies in the back, and she continues to inspire me. I'm very much a chip off the old block of my mom. So
Wow, that's great. You were exposed. Your
very much
environment.
so.
You're
Yeah, no,
exposed.
And that was part of her education for me, right? Was to expose me to things. Like I said, she brought me to the Caribbean I'm talking about every summer. Like, my sister never got to go. I went every summer. She brought me along and exposed me. You're absolutely right.
Wow, that's awesome. I love that. Thank you.
Yeah.
What is a daily activity that helps you with your thrive?
Yeah, it's working out. And I think you and I talked about this before. The endorphins that you receive, the release that happens. And you know what, when I don't work out, I'm actually coming off a bit of a slump, right? It's been about 3-4 weeks, and I just picked it up back at the beginning of May. When I don't work out, then I don't feel the same.
Feel
So
it,
I would
yeah.
say the physical activity, the working out, just keeping my body moving and feeling good sets the tone. And I always have to do it in the morning. I'm very much a morning person. It sets the tone for the day, the week. Yeah, it helps a lot.
Yeah, I hear that. I hear that. Shouts. What is a book that's helped you to thrive?
Yeah, so I caught this off of one of the other podcasts. I was ready for this one.
I was
But,
like, we just need to know about these rapid thrivers. I'm like, how do you know, man?
I tell you, I
Like,
studied.
Okay.
I'll give you one. It's called How Basketball Can Change the World. And this just tells you that the basketball geek that I am. But it speaks to, obviously, there's principles and values in sports that are transferable. This one speaks specifically to the ones that are coming within basketball. And so I'll give you an example. In basketball, we say, you know, current modern day basketball is positionless. Before, it used to be you're a guard, you're a center, you're a shooter, you're a this. Now, these basketball players are so talented that they can do so many things. We say positionless, and that you can be 6'9" and dribble and shoot. Transfer that into the world now. You don't have to be confined to any box. You can do so many different things if you want. You can have a podcast, and you can be a CTO, and you can have an angel investment, and you can help 15,000. You see me? See what I'm saying? So I love that concept that I hope other people realize. Like you may go to university and they may tell you this is what you need to do. No, you can be positionless in this world. You can do as much as you want to. And that's just one of the principles inside the book. So I would
I like
encourage
that.
people to listen to it, even if they're not
That's
a
a good
basketball fan.
book. It's funny that there's something else that you, another leader that apparently is like phenomenal. I have not read his book, but I was listening to someone talk about his leadership life. Is it John Wooden? The great John Wooden. And
Absolutely, from UCLA.
Yeah, I have to like I'm already in awe like of his leadership and his leadership style and the impact it had and I actually want to
He's got these little quips. He's got, like, it's almost like the wooden rules, and it's rules of basketball that apply to life, and that's how he had a crossover of life and basketball and the things he was saying. And it's then now you fast forward almost like that must be 60, 70 years forward, you've got another example of basketball and how it portrays to life. But I would definitely encourage you to look it up for sure.
Okay, I will for sure. Thank you. What is an app on your phone that helps you with your thrive?
Ooh.
He wasn't
Let me
ready for that
think.
one.
No, I wasn't ready for the app one. Almost got to look at my phone real quick because I know the big ones are on the home screen, right? So let's see. I'll tell you what, it's simple. It's Spotify. I don't know why,
Spotify.
because life is a it has a soundtrack to it. And when I wake up in the morning and I have a thought, there's a song that will go with that thought. And then Spotify has that feature where it's like, okay, we'll just keep playing other songs like that. So I love that on the drive in, on the way home. But what my spirit is saying, I love when music can reflect it. So there's
So I
days
can
I need to
sound
hear
pretty good.
gospel. There's days that I need to hear motivational speech or just listen to. Spotify is very connected to my walks, my workouts, my drive to work. It helps frame a lot of things for me. So yeah, definitely Spotify.
I like that. For me, it's YouTube. It's the same.
Okay.
In the same vein. Totally same
Yes.
vein.
Yes.
What is one misconception that people have of you?
Great question. I think people don't realize like I'm a gentle giant, I have a stature and I know that I has a presence, especially when you're tall. But I'm a gentle giant. Now, don't touch the giant and get him upset if you need, you know what I mean? But no, I'm a gentle giant, and I think a lot of people will tell me that I'm unapproachable. Not tell me I'm unapproachable. They think I'm unapproachable. And I to your point, like I'm just a people person. I want people to be able to approach me. But I've talked with so many people that have just said, I've always wanted to speak to you, but I never felt like I could. And I want people to know like I'm here, I'm open, I'm available. So
There you
yeah.
have it. The world knows now.
100%. I've had the
Yeah,
same
the
number
world knows now.
since
The world knows now.
2005. I've had the same
The
number. So you can reach me if you need to, trust me.
world. Okay, I love that. The world knows now. So, where do we find more of you online? And your foundation.
Definitely. I appreciate it. For me, I'm on LinkedIn. I don't really do much other things. So my reflections, my story, it's on LinkedIn. And then yes, for the foundation, you can go to FDF.foundation on Instagram and on LinkedIn. FocusDreamsForward .org is the website, and you'll find our information there. And yeah, by the time this is releasing, we'll be having a golf tournament on June 26th. Feel free to go on. We'll have an online auction that people can support, and we'll be raising money to get down to the Caribbean to do some more programming, leadership programming, basketball camp programming throughout the summer. So feel
Nice.
free, once you've heard this, to go to the website and help. You can make a donation and buy a kid a ball, because when we go down there, everybody gets a basketball, or help send a kid to camp, or help get some of our mentors and our leaders down there to teach some of the other coaches, because we have a very strong train the trainer program.
I love that. And we'll put all of that into the show notes. And so now, one of the things I start to do this season, just I'm a total like Diary of a CEO fan. So Stephen Bartlett does this with his guests. I love it. It's a great idea. And so the previous guest left you some wisdom and want to know what it means to you. And it was Fotini's her name, Iconomopoulos. And she left you wisdom that says, enjoy the ride.
I've been away from the Raptors since July of last year. And if you remember, and so it's been a tough time, right? Because obviously I'm unemployed. I'm working on the charity, trying to figure out what's next. And as you saw the video yesterday, we saw what, Masai's 1 year off looked like. And what I mean? I was like, that's not bad, traveling all over the world and taking care of all your things. Like, that's great. What I take from Fantini's message is to enjoy this time, right? Something will come. I'm a firm believer of it. And then who knows what that's going to look like in terms of moving forward. And so if this is the ride that I'm on right now, I'm going to enjoy it.
Oh, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And now finish this sentence for us. Oh, no, sorry. For me now, I have to ask you, what do you want to leave a piece of wisdom or a question for the next guest?
Yeah, maybe the piece of wisdom, because I again, another quote that I heard recently was your and I'll use talents and opportunities, but your talent and your opportunity is a gift from God. What you do with your talents and your opportunity is your gift back to God.
Oh.
And I just want people to remember that you receive and you have a goal to turn it back around and pay it forward.
I totally agree with that. And that's
Yeah.
what you use your life for.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Finish the sentence for us.
Yep.
I am empowered in my skin when?
I'm empowered in my skin when I am helping other people be their best.
You are so awesome. You're so awesome.
This is fun. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This was fun. I'm today. Anyway, I'm enriched.
Part two. Part two is
I know
coming.
I'm
Tune
enriched.
in
There's
for
going to be a
part
part
two.
two. It's a part three for me. It's going to be a part two for y'all, suckers. But this is just hit rewind. Just hit rewind. Get the pen out and take it all in. But more importantly, there's so much great nuggets that were dropped here. Everyone, please take something and share it. I have to say thank you, John, because I had a dream. I had a prayer this morning when I was getting ready for work. Someone on my team yesterday shared, and it's not necessarily something that she asked me to help, but she did share a story about an experience she had with a colleague that did not make her feel good. Right? It felt like, and she's talked repeatedly that she has felt dismissed by this individual. And so much so, even like we'll send them a message on our chat system and they will not respond. She could see they write and they will not, they'll just, you know. And I prayed to God this morning. I said, God, I did say to her, I'll help coach her through it, like how she can, I always say play fool, catch wise. But something said to me this morning that maybe my responsibility is to actually talk to this individual.
Right.
And it was something that you said that Masai did for you, which is, you know, sponsorship is not just creating opportunities. It's also clearing the path in rooms where you're not in.
Absolutely.
And not only do I have the boldness, not only do I have the superhuman intelligence, but I have the spunk and I have the influence and the ability. And sometimes I'll say some organizations, the title, which gives me
Right.
privilege.
No,
That
absolutely.
I recognize that it's my duty after hearing you say that
Very much
to
so.
make that call and do what I can to make her path easy.
I love
Yeah.
that.
So I just wanted to let you know that that is an empowering action I'm taking from this. And the best thing about it is that it's somebody outside of me that's going to benefit from it.
Love that.
So thank
Absolutely.
you.
Yeah. Use your platform. Absolutely.
Thank you. Thank you. And to everyone else that's listening, I share that because I want you to also commit to an action that you're going to take. And sadly, this is where I have to say, we're out. Bye-bye.
See everybody later.
There you have it. I trust that you're feeling more empowered in your skin. And as the late Dr. Maya Angelou says, when you get, you give, when you learn, you teach. So it would mean so much for us at EIMS if you share this episode and tag us or teach an insight that you learned from today's episode on your socials and tag us. And remember to go over onto iTunes and leave us a review or follow us on socials at Empowered in My Skin. But most importantly, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.